pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so we're going to go to item, want to start? Mm-hmm.
All right, good morning. Good evening, everybody. So nice to see you all here this evening. Because of a lot of business that we have tonight, I just want to advise members of the audience that we want everybody who wants to speak, who will be given a chance to speak. As per board policy, we will be limiting discussion of any item to the public for 3 minutes. We've done this from time to time in order for the board to expeditiously conduct its business, okay? So with that, I will turn it over to President Penne.
Okay, so we're going to go to item four on the agenda, approval of minutes of the reorganization, our regular meeting of July 13, 2017, and also the work study meeting of July 24, 2017. So may I have a motion to approve the minutes of the reorganization and regular meeting of July 13, 2017, and the work study meeting of July 24, 2017. Mrs. Donaldson, seconded by Mrs. DeLerba. Okay, discussion? Okay, all in favor? Against? Okay, passes 7-0. Okay, item five on the agenda, approval of treasurer's and business office financial reports and extracurricular fund report for June 2017 and internal claims audit report for June 2017. So may I have a motion to approve the treasurer's and business office financial reports and extracurricular fund report for June 2017 and the internal claims audit report for June 2017? Mrs. Jores, seconded by Mrs. DeLerba. Discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 7-0. Okay, we go on to item six and the superintendent's report. So, Mrs. Rossi.
Okay, again, thank you for joining us this evening. I want to begin tonight by referencing a transportation memo update that I sent all families back on Friday. I did receive some positive calls this morning as to that memo, but I just wanted to state that hopefully that memo, that letter that went out from our office, help to answer some concerns of those select families that might have lost transportation. Do know that we have been fielding calls from a few families, very sympathetic in nature, and we're finding a way to help through this time of those families who might not be eligible for transportation. And in a few minutes, I want to talk about something maybe we can explore moving forward. If anyone did not get that letter, please see me after the meeting, and I can equip you with a copy. But it was really a history of transportation over the last 3 years, and the fine work that our transportation consultant, who was brought on 2 years ago, has done for the district, really fine-tuning services, listening to the concerns of our parent base, giving services when services are needed, and looking at all overall operational efficiencies also. So he will continue that work this year with us. At the July meeting, Mr. Robertson, who is our consultant, he presented his analysis of the transportation financials of the last 3 years to the Board of Education sitting up here tonight. He confirmed efficiencies now in place, as well as the potential for high school busing utilizing the current fleet. So at that conversation back in July, the Board of Education asked Mr. Robertson to return to them this fall, digging deeper into high school busing. Specifically, I think we want to see him pound out various scenarios, correct? Right now, students who live two miles or more from the high school will receive transportation. We have asked him to go back and take a look at, could we provide such transportation at a mile for high schoolers as well as 0.75 miles? But more importantly, equally importantly, could the current fleet transport 7 through 12 students at those mileage points? And would there be any loss in aid, in state aid, if we bring the eligibility down?
This is high school right now.
This is high school, right. So Mr. Robertson will be working on the board's request in the coming weeks, and we'll report out his findings later this fall. I also would like the board's permission, considering recently what happened with those select families, can we have Mr. Robertson explore the fleet possibilities as well as the potential costs and analysis to lower eligibility mileage for K-6 from 0.75 down to 0.5, and possibly even look at what universal K-6 would look like. Do I have the board's permission to have him delve into that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that, what he comes up with. Yeah.
Okay, so I will move ahead and ask him to do that as we look towards that in the future. Okay, so I just wanted to start with that, because I know that's probably on everybody's mind tonight, and you know, get that out there.
Lynn, just a quick question. How many families were affected? How many people got the letter?
Some here tonight, yes. Okay. How many? One, two, three.
Oh, I'm sure that's not
I
all.
I see the letter, but I know.
Okay. Okay. You probably have talked to, I'm sure.
I think it was just the general number.
Yeah. It was about 60 some odd families all in that part closer to the school.
Okay.
Yeah, the measuring point up there. Anyway, that's what we're doing moving forward. So hopefully we'll get some answers. Okay. Other news around the district, a lot to report on. The Board of Education and the Central Office has been actively engaged in our own professional development the last month. Particular members here at the dais attended the annual School of Conference hosted through NISBA on July 27th. And most recently, we held our annual school board retreat just this past Friday, in which we accomplished another good year of great work together as a team. The great day was had by all, and I thank the trustees for taking the time out of their hectic days for those of you to be in attendance. This day is always a very positive and productive day that we accomplish every year. It's a day we look forward to bringing the year's aims to the public early in the fall, and those aims are generated by feedback that we get from parents. And you'll hear in some of my updates tonight what we're moving towards. School mailings. If you're a high school parent, the high school mailing is set to go out in tomorrow's mail, and the K-6 home mailing will be set to go out hopefully by tomorrow, definitely midweek by the latest. There's a letter in that packet to all parents. It's the top letter on top of the principal's letter, welcoming everybody back with important fall dates and introductions of our parents to our new staff members who have joined the Babylon faculty this year. We have some key new staff members, a couple of them who are here tonight. It goes into detail who's being hired for leave replacements at the elementary levels and also new appointments at all three buildings. Keep in mind the first day of school for students will be Thursday, September 7th. The full faculty and staff return on Tuesday and Wednesday, September 5th and 6th. For two solid days of professional development. We are kicking off the Babylon September 5th orientation with a motivational speaker, Mr. John Gordon. He has been on the Today Show. He has worked for Fortune 500 companies and professional sports teams, so he will be joining us here that day in district. We also read his book last year as a faculty. It was called The Energy Bus, on motivational and positive thinking. So we're really excited to have him. Other summer updates include the kickoff of our new K-6 social-emotional learning curriculum. Give you a little bit of a background on this. Under the direction of my principals and teachers last year, we had a team that piloted social-emotional learning programs last year, and the team has selected a new program called Second Step. You'll see that on the agenda tonight for board approval. This is something the board has heard about way before tonight, but official approval is tonight. We are set for a full implementation and kickoff this September in all K-6 classrooms, with teacher training set for day one, teacher liaisons in each building, through the help of our PTA, cultural arts assemblies, and home supports in place. We are super excited about the social-emotional learning opportunities at the schools that they will be embracing. The kids will have a common language. There are weekly lessons, monthly themes, but most importantly, life's lessons on self-awareness and respect for one another. Additionally, and this is something the Board of Education has not heard yet, We have today secured a very sizable grant from a local philanthropist who has given the district money to incorporate a program called Circle of Dance. And we've also incorporated grant funding from Assemblywoman Pellegrino, who is helping us incorporate yoga into our schools. So we're very excited about this. And parents, you'll hear more details about these extensions of social-emotional learning come the early fall months. Additionally, much of the summer work, aside from bond renovations, has included Mr. DeLeo and his technology department's work in gearing up for the first year of the one-to-one initiative. So far this summer, we have done a lot of infrastructural work. We've completely implemented a new wireless system, so all buildings have powerful Wi-Fi coverage. The Microsoft Surface Pro devices have been deployed. They're getting ready for teachers to start their planning and curriculum design this year for the one-to-one rollout of students in the 18-19 school year. A migration of the eCloud, the email cloud storage from Google over to Office 365 has taken place. This migration is now complete as we gear up for September with our staff. Also, there has been wiring, which is complete for a comprehensive district-wide new security system in the process of being implemented this fall. We have to wait until the bond renovations are done, and then they go to work and they install all of our new security cameras district-wide. So some really great, exciting things on the level of technology and security. Also, our food service has developed a wonderful updated menu of allergy-safe party options for purchase this year for parents who are planning food-based parties. We strongly encourage, and I might look for the PTA to help push this for us, but we're strongly encouraging parents to use the option when planning for food-based celebrations in the classrooms. Number one, it's easy to order. It's like ordering from a menu. You submit it a couple of weeks in advance. It takes the stress away from a parent of shopping for all the goods. And most importantly, it's convenient, but most importantly, allergy-free. As we face more and more students who have allergies in our classrooms, we're really, really trying to promote this. By policy, or even by law, we can't make parents buy from it, but we really want to try to promote it for the safety of students while we still celebrate, you know, food-based celebrations in our classrooms. Okay, Mrs. Padrone, who is our part-time food service director, she will be sending out a welcome letter to all families under separate cover sometime in the next 2 weeks, and also for designated classroom parents, K-6, you know, the class parents that we assign, we want to hold an allergy workshop for them, because these are typically the people who are the movers and shakers of the classroom, organizing everything for the teacher. We feel that educating them on the policy and what's available is just prudent. Okay? Not done yet. We have a lot of news. Okay. This fall, we will see, if you are a junior senior high school parent, we will see the return of junior senior high school parent teacher conferences. They will take place the Monday before Election Day. Years ago, the high school used to have parent teacher conferences. Somehow they went away. We are bringing them back. So you will see that in the calendar coming home as a 7 through 12 parent. Also, a new aspect to the school calendar, twice a month we will have extended guidance evening hours for working families. So if you're a mom or a dad and you have a child in grade 7 through 12 and you need to talk to a school counselor but you work during the day, guess what? Every other Monday night we have open evening guidance office hours. So that's a really nice thing for parents. All you have to do is simply pick up the phone, make an appointment, just say, I'm Mrs. So-and-so, I'm Mr. So-and-so, I'm coming in. And it's a nice thing for our community. And our guidance counselors are thrilled to offer it. You will also see a number of initiatives continuing this year. You'll see Coffee with the Superintendent, day and evening sessions, as we've had the last 2 years. And we are also going to be organizing a community book club with the superintendent. This is set to begin probably in early October. We will be reading the New York Times bestseller titled How to Raise an Adult by author Julie Lithcott Haynes. So I put this in my letter. If there's a parent who wishes to join us in this discussion, they can go out, get the book. We'll give you the book club dates, and please join us for that great topic, which is related to student learning, child development, and the book's consistent theme centered on social and emotional well-being. Finally, I talked to the board last month. You know, with all the renovations we have going on, Mr. Bensavenga, maybe you'll give the, a bond update, but with all the work going on with the renovations district-wide, we pushed back PSE&G from doing their energy audit until all the work is done. It somewhat looked a little like Beirut this summer out in our buildings. Everything's getting put together and coming along nicely, but we want to make sure it's safe for PSE&G to walk around and do an energy audit of our energy sources. So I've been in touch with them, and they should be coming sometime in October to do that walkthrough. Okay? That is all I have for right now.
Okay. Well, the first word that you mentioned was up at dance?
Yes, it's called Circle of Dance. It ties into social-emotional learning. It's from a very well-known philanthropist in our community who wants to bring the joy of dance to every boy and girl in grades 2 through 6. And what it is, I actually had this program years ago at William Floyd. It's all social emotional based, but they take each class, and for a total of 12 sessions over 6 weeks, they have professional dancers come in, and they teach a class routine. And it's a routine that boys and girls love, and it's a song that boys and girls can associate with, that's hip and, appropriate. And at the end of the 12 sessions, we invite the parents in, and each class performs their routine. We will be getting the music teachers involved, maybe the art teachers involved, and it's for grades 2 through 6.
And what does that happen
during? I am putting together that it's a combination, it's mostly PE time, but I am putting the schedule together for them, for the dancers. We're looking to start sometime in October or November with grade 2. And then they shift over to the grade school. They'll probably do grades 3 and 4 in January, February, and then 5 and 6 around after that. So I'm right now putting the schedule together for them. But it's a wonderful program. It's really an amazing program. And it just brings the kids together. It's amazing how they're taught respect and cooperation. Really, and I've seen it firsthand, so I know that.
And Mr. Hodgson's now, he's in place working part-time.
Yes, he is doing a great job. One of our new hires, it's interim facilities administrator, Mr. Pano, has resigned. And we brought on Herb Hodge from the William Floyd School District. He was there for many, many years, probably one of the best in the whole field. He has been gracious enough to help us out. He's only here part-time, a couple days a week. Just to see us through the summer. And we're very fortunate to have someone like him. Someone like Mr. Hodge is hard to get. We're happy we have his expertise at this critical time during phase 4. So Dr. Daly has been instrumental also in looking at the civil service list as we're starting to now push towards the interview process for a full-time replacement.
Okay. And we can use his expertise in order for assessing the buildings in the future as far as energy. And
Okay. But that will not be a long-term appointment. We're looking to hire someone as soon as possible, come the fall.
Okay, all right. Great. Okay, thank you, Mrs. Rouse, for your detailed report. We are going to go on to item number 7 on the agenda, and that's our committee report. So with the audit committee, Mrs. Donaldson.
Thank you. The audit work continues as scheduled. Dr. Daly and I meeting dates as those reports are ready for discussion. So I'll be a little bit more detailed for you when we come together on the 28th.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mrs. Donaldson. Finance Committee, this is yours.
And the Finance Committee will have their first meeting not until January 8th, 2018. So.
And those will eventually be on the website. We're going to talk about it.
Will be on the upcoming weeks.
Okay, Buildings and Grounds, Mr. Benson.
Yeah, we met a couple weeks ago during the study session, Bob Caliendo from SCC, which is our school construction manager, gave a good presentation, catching everybody up. We are, at that point we were, and I believe we still are, on schedule, maybe a little ahead of the schedule in some places. Working through, Peter, I want to get an update from you if you can on the high school cafeteria. Or do we have sufficient permits there? Are we still on schedule with that one?
High school cafeteria?
Yeah.
I have my concerns.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I just think that, you know, for me to look at it.
Can you put the mic up, please? Thank you.
I don't think it would be much of a surprise, but we may have to open with some limitations to the operation.
Okay.
But I don't think that was anything that we weren't prepared for or didn't feel was a realistic possibility because of the complexity of the work that's involved,
right. The
equipment purchases, the HVAC work. There's a lot going on there in a very small space with a very small window to do all the work.
Okay.
So you have a number of different trades in a concentrated area.
And anybody who's been involved in any kind of construction project knows you have, you know, lots of challenges and things look, you know, the oh my God factor tends to be fairly high until you get close to it, and things tend to come together pretty well pretty quickly. So, we still have 3-4 weeks before school starts, and we'll keep everybody apprised. I'm sure if there's any issues with the cafeteria, the superintendent will let everybody know.
Yeah, the one issue that I think you all should be aware of is they're working extended shifts. They're working on the weekends. So, you know, we've done what we need to do relative to authorizing the extended work schedule. We have our custodians in to keep the building open.
And we would offer them like a cold lunch then and instead in the meantime?
That might be a little bit premature, but that's something we have to prepare for.
But we would have to offer
them. It's the nature of the school construction.
Yep. Dr. Daly, would be focused, is it the part that the children are in, so is it the child-facing areas? Okay,
we completed
time?
Yes.
So where they're sitting is all nice and done, but just behind the scenes.
That's right.
Okay, so the kids will be happy to just come back here.
Later this meeting, Skip Gardner, who is the Village Highway Superintendent, most people here know, he actually, on the board's request, he and some other folks from the village, examined the grade school field. You know, those of you who know Skip knows that there was probably not inch of gravel in the village that he does not know fairly well, including the school property. And he helped to get a look at, provide another set of eyes to the field. So he's going to come a little later this meeting, so I would encourage everybody to stay after your particular item of concern is addressed. I think it'll be valuable. And, the board has gone on record saying we're going to do that field project, so we need to talk about options. We're going to talk about that pretty soon to make that happen. So the next two things, Dr. Daly sent around a note to the board earlier today for colors for the tennis courts that are being built on grade school. No, I think they're right now. Ain't there?
Yeah,
where did you send it to the...
Yeah, I sent it out this afternoon.
Yeah. Anyhow, just the board members...
You didn't get it?
Nope.
Oh. Okay. All right.
I know that they're working, switching everything over, so perhaps that's
Could be, I'm not sure. Anyhow, I apologize, I thought everybody was back. But that when you receive an email, the question that we need to get back to BDS is the colors of the tennis courts. They're recommending that we use the U.S. Open colors, which is fine to me. So unless somebody has a preference on tennis court colors, there you go. And then the last part, the board's going to get together, I believe it's the 24th, right?
28th,
excuse me. For the walkthrough?
Oh, 24th, yes.
The board will do a walkthrough, the annual walkthrough of the facilities to see what kind of shape we're in.
Yeah.
We're going to get ready for school.
That's at
9 a.m.
I have one question for you.
Yeah.
There's the grade school parking lot. Looked like it was done and they dug up part of it. Like the front part has like a big jerk up section, because that gonna now like that, the integrity of the whole job and the kind of it disrupt that one section, is that gonna now be the part that always gets the puddles and fixed year after year issue, or what's going on there?
I'm not exactly sure at the shore. I hadn't seen that it was finished and torn up. Can you aware of this?
This is grade school?
Yeah, the grade school, like the one that's right
east,
here.
East or west?
It's east. It's along Park Avenue.
By the tennis courts.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know specifically what you're referring to, but
like,
I do.
Like, just the front part, like the whole thing is like kind of like done, and then like goes too far at the end. Or
right.
Like,
they had an issue with the curb. They had a misplaced curb, which could be the reason why you're looking at something that looks like they went the wrong way. Yeah.
Schlocky.
That's a possibility.
Lynn, can you find that as just, you know, worth that?
Technical terminology.
Absolutely.
Great, thanks.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, that's all for both of you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Mega. Okay, we're moving on to Technology Committee. Mr. Lombardo.
Yes. Linda gave most of my report, and pretty much all of it, so I'll just go over it real quick. The summer projects are continuing. The Wi-Fi is almost in. Everything's almost done there. We're just about done with the Google to Microsoft migration. The service pros have been distributed to all the teachers, and they're being set up now. So we will be running a workshop for a week for the directors and teachers, and also we'll be providing a day on superintendent's conference day for them. No, I think they can come in and get them. They're ready for them, so if they want them, they can come in and get them and play with them at home. Also, our next meeting will be September 25th, 7:45 p.m.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Curriculum Committee, Ms. Deller.
Yes. Our first meeting is going to be September 18th. We will look at the goals that we came up with in our board retreat and start looking at what we discussed this year.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. And then we have policy, Ms. O'Brien.
Yes, our next policy meeting is on September 14th at 3:30, and the meeting for the rest of the year will be posted on the district website once this is ready.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, moving on to agenda item 8, board agenda items. Questions from visitors on agenda items? Please approach the podium and state your name.
Robert Sturr. On item number one, the agenda item is an appointment for this particular person. And later on, I think it's item number 16, 17, and 18, is additional responsibilities. Is this the same person?
Yes, sir.
And what are their compensations for items 16, 17, and 18? And by compensation, I mean financial.
Nothing.
Okay, that's always with the appointment?
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions from visitors on agenda items? Okay, let's move on then to discussion. We're discussion on any agenda items.
Yeah, Flynn, can you explain item 22, the book buyback program?
Sure. Each year, when a board, each year a board deems Mr. Bensavenga and the board books that are considered maybe obsolete as the libraries go through or the buildings go through their obsolete books. Rather than just discard them, there are certain books that are in good condition that we can have BOCES be returned through BOCES, and we get some credit for those books. So this resolution basically helps the district participate in that consortium.
This is the first time you've ever?
Yeah, we've done it many years. Any other discussion on agenda items on the board? Okay, so seeing that, may I have a motion then to omnibus items 1 through 29? Okay, Ms. O'Brien, Mr. Montalto seconded. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor? Omnibus. Okay. Against? Passes 7-0. Okay, may I have a motion to approve items 1 through 29? Donaldson?
Seconded by Ms. DeLerba. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay. Motion passes 7-0.
Do we have any other folks?
Yeah, we are. Okay. So, Ms. Rossi?
Yes, okay. We would like to recognize. We have our new school psychologist here with us tonight. Please give a warm welcome to Ms. Ashley DeLuca. Ashley, you can please stand up. Ashley is our new high school psychologist. She is replacing Yvette Chase, who recently retired. We're very happy to have you. Welcome to Babylon. Okay, welcome. We also have our new part-time art teacher, Mrs. Elizabeth Lozito, who will be the part-time art educator at Babylon Elementary School. And she's an amazing artist. She showed me some of her ideas for murals to do with the kids and her professional work. So welcome. Very happy to have you here in Babylon. I don't think we have any of our leave teachers who will be doing leave replacements here tonight, but we would also like to welcome Ms. Brittany Muller. Brittany was a teaching assistant here in Babylon last year at the elementary school. She will be going up to serve as a third grade leave replacement teacher at the Babylon Grade School. She is terrific. I think the parents who get her will be very happy. And also, we'd like to welcome Ms. Emily Rayner. Emily was also a teaching assistant down with Mr. Davey at the elementary school. She is going into a sixth grade leave replacement for Ms. Kim Monica. All right, so congratulations to those young ladies as well. Okay. We also have a part-time science teacher. Ms. Savia is returning as a 0.5 to high school. Okay,
moving on to agenda item 10, other business.
Not yet.
Okay, we can skip that. Okay, so we'll skip that for now and bring it back.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll come back to other business when we can do that. So we'll move on. We'll come back to other business just when Mr. Gardner arrives. Okay, so coming back to that just a little bit, we're going to move on to agenda item 11. Representatives of organizations, please approach the podium and state your name.
Please pardon the formal speech, but I'm a writer. Hello, ladies and gentlemen of the board, parents, and community members. My name is Stephanie Cosentino, and I'm this year's K-6 PTA president. I've spent the last month meeting with many of the district players, like the superintendent, principals, PTA board, committees, subcommittees, and local businesses and Babylon villagers. I've yet the pleasure of sitting and of meeting with you all as a group or individually to exchange our thoughts on this coming year, but I hope to do that before school starts. As of this point, I can say that I stand here in complete confidence that the best is yet to come for our school district. We have so many progressive, engaged, and smart people in our midst that I'm truly inspired. This year, the PTA is thrilled to be supporting the district's implementation of a social-emotional curriculum, something many of our parents and members have been advocating for many years. Thank you, Mrs. Rossi, for listening to us and for acting. Thank you to the board for making it official. It is one of the PTA's priority to establish a positive school-wide culture. As society evolves, and it is changing at a breakneck speed, it is the job of the school to keep up and provide the tools for each child to succeed well beyond graduation, well beyond the results of their last report card. We expect our kids to stand out as responsible, mindful, and inspiring leaders in their community. We have to keep moving forward and even be a step ahead. I assure you that the PTA welcomes these challenges and will always support the district 100% in your efforts to provide our children a top-notch education. And I won't lie, we may sometimes be standing here and pushing you on some initiatives we find important and necessary. My mother's PTA may have baked cookies and planned lovely parties, but today we've outsourced it to the school cafeteria. But this group definitely wants to be a part of the conversation, especially when it comes to our kids' education. That being said, we hope to never be on opposing sides, as our goal should always be shared and focused. Our goal should always be on providing our kids with the best education. We like to think of the PTA as the bridge between school and home life. We will continue to provide communication between the two, because an informed community becomes an engaged community, and an engaged community is the best chance we have to make our district one of the best on Long Island. Why shouldn't it be? I look forward to reporting and working with you throughout the year. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other representatives from organizations? Okay, so we are going to move forward with questions and comments from visitors. We are, again, going to come back to other business to talk about the school fields. So again, questions and comments from visitors, please approach the podium and state your name.
Robert Stroh. In light of what happened out in, I think, was the talk at this past year, this past week, with the student getting killed. But I hope I'm assured that we don't have a stupid workout program like that in this district.
You know, that's a great question, and I forgot to mention that in my report. Unfortunately, everybody knows what happened to the high school football player in Sachem. We do not have that, God bless. We do not have that log activity, never have in Babylon. In fact, the day, that morning after it happened, I was on the phone with Mr. DeJoseph, personally myself, and I said, please tell me we don't have anything like this. We don't do anything even remotely close to it. We don't have anything that puts any child's safety in danger. He assured me that has never been done here in Babylon, nor have any other similar activities, which some districts continue to do. So I want to leave you with that.
Along those same lines, I work in the school district. I've been the cheerleading thing with it, throwing the person up. I think that's very dangerous. I don't know what the parameters of competition are, but I think that's something that would be prudent to investigate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Strong. Okay. Other questions or comments from visitors?
Hey, Robin Sylvester, turning to Babylon Care. I have a question concerning the committee chairs. Has that now been finalized for you guys? Is it co-chairs or vice chairs that was left open at the last meeting?
When we did approve it, we approved it actually as chairs. So at this point in time, it stays as chairs.
Okay, I didn't see it on the agenda.
Well, no, we approved it the last time. We approved it as just chairs, so we went forward with that approval. We were going to have some dialogue at our retreat. Not everybody could be present, so it might be a dialogue that will be ongoing in the future, but it was approved as just chairs, and they stand to that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And do you know how soon the committee chairs of the committee meetings will be posted on the website?
I can answer that. The Board of Education got committee dates from me. They have the next week to get back to me if there are any conflicts of those people who chair those committees, and then I will get them posted immediately.
Great, thank you.
Okay.
And there's been a bit about hoopla about the recent changes to transportation, and I would just like to reiterate my request that the transportation committee be established, that community members could sit on that actually represent the people who are using the service. I don't know if this is site-based, would be the appropriate place
to do. No, it's not site-based.
So, you know, I mean, we have health and wellness committees, and as we muddle through this transportation to make it work, you know, both fiscally responsibly and in the best interest of the kids and the families that use it. A transportation committee that includes parent members from the community would be useful.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Sorry.
Plenty of time. Plenty of time. Okay.
Okay. My name is Nicole Garrett. I'm here in the district too. I
have a lot of concerns about the new busing procedure or whatever, however it's come about. I did miss the beginning of the meeting. I understand that it was addressed briefly. What I would like to bring up in case it hasn't been discussed yet is that the changes in the busing kind of come around at the same time as changes in the pickup procedure. My child is in the elementary school, and there's like nowhere to park at the elementary school. The circle's been closed off. We have to park our car, we have to go in, we have to sign the children out. There are only a few people working there at the time. It almost seems like those of us who live 0.7 miles away or 0.75 miles away have to walk to the school with our other children, and because there's nowhere to put our car. I have a caregiver, she's disabled, she has nowhere to put her. You know, so she can't do that. She uses handicap parking. So in the meantime, while we're trying to figure out this busing situation, I think it's important also to address the pickup, because that's the other side of the coin.
And that's a very good comment, and I appreciate you for asking that tonight. I really do. And I think I spoke with your husband today. I will, you know, let me reach out to the building principal. He's not here tonight, but I will extend that concern. I know it's very hectic there at dismissal with old cars, you know.
Yeah, it's both schools. You know, people are trying to run back and forth between them. And I understand that there are probably really good reasons why we have to go inside.
Yes, and that is definitely for the better. But I understand your situation, you know. Yeah, we'll have to look into that with Mr. Davey, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Valerie Seal. I'm a mom of a sixth grader, a third grader, and an incoming kindergartner, along with two more that haven't shown up yet at school. And I just want to say that in terms of the letters coming out for the elementary school kids in particular, it's not as important for the grade school kids in terms of the when you find out your teacher and this and that and the other thing, especially given half of it came out accidentally anyway with that whole thing. But for the kindergartners in particular, the Overlook Beach PTA gathering is a really important time for those kids to find other kids in their class and have some familiar faces. So to have the letters come out after that event, where they're still going and they're not knowing who those kids are, is a really big bummer for them, because that it's important for those little ones to have those faces. When you're in third grade, you have them. Fourth grade, you have them. But kindergartners, first graders, like, they're still really nervous about that. And so I would just strongly encourage those letters to come out before that event, so that they're at home, so that the kids know when they're going to that event who they can look for. Because I think you forget how little and how scared they are when they're in kindergarten, okay. and how much that would mean to them. So
the point well taken.
Yes, very nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Keith Garrett. We spoke
about this. Yes, hi.
And we got on the phone quickly. I think we were both busy with emails and phone calls and things. I just wanted to add I apologize if this was addressed earlier. I wanted to add to what we're saying about the transportation situation. It's not necessarily only a matter of convenience, but I wanted to expound upon the safety aspect of the transportation situation. The corner of Beverly and Ralph, I believe it is, I don't recall there being a security guard on the corner there as there is on the corner of Ralph and Park. And
you're right, there isn't.
On the next corner.
Right.
The problem we have is that
right.
The sidewalk ends there. So when you have kids crossing and then there's a little bit more of a sidewalk only on one side of the street, and then there's grass and people are parking kind of on the grass, kind of off the grass, because you have to park pretty far from campus in order to pick up and drop off sometimes. I might drop my son off in the morning, and there's a lot of retaining walls in front of the school, so you open your door, you can't open your door all the way if you have a car that's not an SUV, let's say. So it's difficult there as well. If I have to unload my kid on the sidewalk side, I have to walk around and do it. If I have to unload him on the street side, it's dangerous. We end up, you know, pressed up against the side of the car, closing the door. There've been mirror strikes and things like that. Luckily, not children or pedestrians, but cars either in the middle of the street or being pushed over so far that they're very up close against parked cars and things like that. At least until the transportation situation is worked out, I would request that if another crossing guard can be placed down in that corner, and maybe, you know, in the morning especially, I see this more. You have through traffic coming through there as well. I understand that we can't, you know, tell people that they can't drive through, but sometimes you can just tell when someone's coming down the block at a higher rate of speed,
right,
they don't have kids
right
in their car, they're not really
us
paying attention to
right
it. You know, it could be very dangerous if there's even any way to say between certain hours, if you're not coming to pick up a kid, you're not coming to drop off a kid, you don't live there,
cut it off.
Go around the block. It's,
right,
it's a bunch of squares.
You know, that's a great suggestion.
There.
I will get on the phone tomorrow with the first precinct and see if they can send us a crossing guard at Beverly and Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that before. Sometimes they're able to give one, other times not. I'll let you know how far I get.
Right. I think the
you know,
crossing guard at Beverly
the more the more calls that maybe go into the precinct could help.
Right. It's probably more important than the crossing guard that's at Ralph and Livingston. But I don't want to speak for anybody that lives near Beverly and Livingston,
yes,
maybe.
Yeah.
It's important to have that crossing guard over there as well, I'm sure. But when you're coming to pick up a kid, you pay attention, so you think it's not really a big deal. But you know when you're picking up or dropping off a kid,
right,
it is a big deal. And if you're going to have kids, some of them, they walk by themselves and things like that. I think it's important to have crossing guards around all of those spots when you have cars blocking fields of vision. Sometimes there are contractor trucks and things like that are there, people coming around them. Even someone parking at the school during one of the kids' events crushed the front of somebody's car just backing up and backing into the parking spot there. So it's a little bit of a safety concern, a little bit of a convenience concern, but safety obviously being the most important
we
thing.
We hear you. I will continue to be in touch with you, and I will call them.
Thank you.
Does it have to be a crossing guard from the first precinct?
Yes, it does.
We can use one of our security guys? For a couple hours?
No, because it's village roads, right?
Village roads?
Right? You can't do that. It's not our property, it's just a measurement. And if one of our employees got, I don't think that's a
question.
Okay. Lynn?
Yes.
I have a question.
I'm sorry, just wait.
Why don't we, years ago, that circle was open, cars would drop off there. Why don't we open up that circle?
For drop-off, it's not for pickup. For drop-off, I believe the circle.
Drop-off, it's open.
Oh, it's open for in the morning.
Yeah, drop-off is no issue. It's afternoon. It's closed.
Right. So if you get there like 45 minutes early, you could sit in the car and you could wait. Like my mother's disabled. She can't walk all the distance. She'd go 45 minutes early and just sit
right
in the car running. And you just wait for the door to open,
yeah,
and then
right,
you know,
they
the
could
kids
get
would
out
come out. A lot of
yeah
the parents would do that and wait
just
there.
Just to reiterate, and I'll be with you 2 seconds, just in the beginning, what is going to be explored, because they just missed the part in terms of our transportation consultant. They are doing some exploratory in terms of data and potential cost for 0.5 or universal busing. So, but just thinking proactively, but even from a safety standpoint, I just want to, you know, reiterate that was said in the beginning. So,
I agree.
Okay. Sorry about that. Thank you for your patience. Okay.
My name is Barbara, and I'm also Kinnabaka's mother.
Okay.
We bus transportation out bus stop. Literally, was like right next door. So when we bought the house, that was a big thing for us. And we had some private owners, and they had buses, so it was great for us. Now we lose it. But I'm understanding that there, when we did the Google map and we did the quickest route, like we were told in the email, the block literally diagonal where I could see right from my front window, they get buses. So like that's so frustrating when you're getting your kid ready, and you know how that could be, like getting a toddler ready with a baby. You know, so I have another baby at home that would be with me. We have to pack him up, wake him up, pack him up, and bring him on a cold winter day. You know, it's not fair to us as moms, dads, whatever, getting the kids ready. So I know that you're trying to get the mileage down, like you said in the beginning, but that wouldn't be for next year, like you just said, right? So
that's voter approved, too. Voters would have to approve that. Can I just have your last name again?
Gioia. G-I-O-I-A.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So Lime Court is right by me where I can see from the window. So I'm wondering if, I know it's by house address they do it, but is there any way they could, whilst this transportation thing is up in the air and until next year, that we could bring our kids over there? and get pickup, because the bus is literally going there, passing out House Post.
Yeah, Mr. Stefanetta, do you mind answering that question?
I'd be happy to. So I'll give you a little more than a short answer. So transportation of students, pupils to and from school is something that's a creature of statute. There's a section of the education law, 3635, that talks about a school board's authority to transport pupils. Transportation of pupils is one of those things that if the school board doesn't have the authority to do it under the statute, they can't do it even if they wanted to do it. Transportation of pupils and the mileage limitations, there are statutory limits that are set by New York State law, Education Law 3635. And those are for grades K through 8. If a student lives 2 miles or more away, they would qualify for transportation. For grades 9 through 12, it's 3 miles or more away. School districts, the voters in the school district, by referendum, by vote of the public, are authorized to establish mileage limitations that are lower. In other words, when you lower the distances, more people get transportation. That's not something that a school board can do. That's something that a proposition gets put on a ballot, a referendum for the community to vote on. Once the community votes on what those mileage limitations are to make transportation more liberal, or more generous than it is required to be by statute, that's set for the school year, those transportation limitations. Now, separate from the transportation limitations are the measuring points. So the measuring points are from your home by an established route, your roadway, to a measuring point at the school that is established locally by a school board. So a school board establishes the measuring points, but the mileage limitations are established by the community, by the voters, and that's set for the school year. So in terms of can any other transportation be provided, or could you put your child on a bus that's a block away? The answer to that is no. But in 3635 of the education law, there's also a provision for transportation to and from child care locations. So that is discretionary for a school district. They're not required to do that. But if a school district, by that I mean if a school board, passes a resolution and they authorize transportation to and from a child care location, then there's the possibility that a child who is otherwise ineligible for transportation because they live within the mileage limitations established by the voters could nevertheless get transportation. So the easiest example is, as a woman sitting over here, I don't know, but if my house was too close to the school to qualify for transportation, but I legitimately had an arrangement where this individual who lives outside of limitation was my child's child care provider before school or after school, a school district is authorized to provide the transportation from that location to the school, even though I don't qualify for it with the measurement from my home. So those are two different ways. Really, there's only three ways that you can qualify for transportation for regular ed kids to school. One is if you fall within, outside of the mileage limit established by the voters. Two, if the authorized child care location that you use falls outside the mileage limitations to the school. With three, something that is very rare, but there's a provision in the education law for something called a child safety zone. And if under certain circumstances, because of where you live, even though you're within the mileage limit established by the voters, your child would be required to cross through an intersection that was considered a dangerous intersection. And when I say consider dangerous intersection, it's not what you consider dangerous intersection or what they consider dangerous intersection. The Commissioner of Transportation in New York has a whole bunch of criteria, and it's a scoring sheet. And if you have a concern about an intersection, you can request that it be reviewed. If it qualifies by the scoring, you know, they look at things like the gentleman was talking about sidewalk. Is there a sidewalk? Sidewalks, speed limits on the road, how many lanes of traffic, is it controlled by a traffic control device, is there a crossing guard? But if it qualifies, then a school board is authorized to provide transportation for that family, even though it's within the distance, as long as it doesn't cost any extra money. If it costs extra money, that has to go to the voters for the following school year. So that's the long way of answering.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great question. Thank you.
Thank you.
So
Mrs. Stefan, and then as a follow-up question, I know we want to do our due diligence and make sure that the transportation going forward is done with accurate numbers and cost assessments in advance so nobody gets any surprises. But are we could hold a referendum as we did with the bonds in mid-year. If we did a mid-year referendum, would that not be allowed to take place until next year? The changes, or could the changes be enacted? Like, say we did a referendum in early January, could we enact the changes immediately, or would we have to wait until September the following year?
I don't know that answer off the top of my head, Mrs. Silvestri. However, if I had to guess, and I don't like guessing, but I can get the board an answer tomorrow morning, but I would think that you can't do it mid-year only because of the budgeting issue. So where there's two things. There may be a cost involved where the board would have to figure out a way to levy taxes to pay for the extra transportation. And for transportation, once you're below 1.5 miles, once a board and community sets it for less than 1.5 miles, then the transportation is enabled. So there might be an expense to the additional transportation, and I can certainly get the board an answer which they can share with the community tomorrow morning as to whether it can happen mid-year. My hunch is it can't because of the budgetary impact once the budget is set.
Thank you. But if there were no additional costs, then it would be technically possible.
That's what he's going to get back to us on.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And I know our district has the child care provision in place. Do we have the child safety zone provision in place?
It's a state.
That's not a district. That is not a, every district has that in place, but parents would have to come and petition for a child safety zone, and then we would have to, somebody in district or a consultant would assess it according to the state rubric, and it's very objective, that state rubric. And if they would if that safety zone would qualify as a child safety zone, that could be, if I'm not mistaken, then granted as long as transportation wouldn't cost anything extra.
Maybe I misunderstood. I thought Mr. Stefanetta had said it had to be a district policy. But it is a state law already.
Yes, it
is. The district has to enact, has to, is that correct?
Yes, that's part of the state law 3635, that the concept of child safety zones exists, and the criteria exist outside the district bounds. It's a state commissioner of transportation criteria for evaluation.
So does the board have to enact it?
No.
Or
just follow regulation?
So do you know where you can find that rubric? Or how would a family apply for that?
We can look into
it. I can tell you how it's done. Yeah. If you believe that your child is required to go across a dangerous intersection, then what you would do is you'd make a request in writing to the district, to the superintendent's office or the transportation office, requesting that a particular intersection or crossing be declared a child safety zone. The criteria that the Commissioner of Transportation has established, I'm sure in this day and age you can get on the internet. If you look at the New York State Commissioner of Transportation child safety zones, it'll give you the list. But it's like a checklist. And those were some of the items I was mentioning, like whether there are sidewalks, whether it's a one or two-way traffic, how many lanes of traffic, speed limit, etc. But you can actually go through it. You could almost do that checklist yourself. Once you have the checklist, if you're standing there, you'll be able to answer virtually all the questions. And for example, if an intersection could be made safe simply by having a crossing guard there, the police department has a crossing guard there, it almost disqualifies the whole thing from being a child safety zone. But yes, the criteria would be on.
Information such as this would be great to get from the transportation department.
Yeah,
they'll need some concerns.
Once we get details, we'll get. Sorry. Once we get details, we'll get information.
Yes.
Hello. My name is Celeste Bells. I'm a parent. To be fourth grader, second grader, and preschooler. So I'm in similar situations as a lot of the people here. I lost busing this year. and I have people with me that are within blocks near my house that are either dead-end blocks or U-blocks, where they only can identify with each other. People on those blocks have transportation, and others don't, where it's a dead-end block. They're walking past the house that doesn't have transportation to the corner where we pass in a car. So that's kind of hard to handle. The other thing that I have the situation is I have multiple schools that I have to go to, or not me, my 75-year-old mother, with my preschooler to one school. 5 minutes later, she has to be on another school. My son will be the last one to be picked up, wondering if grandma's going to get there. So my question would be, is there a solution that we can transport those families that have multiple students in multiple locations to one school so there's one pick point? So my fourth grader be brought to the elementary school so that only one person needs to be picked up, or two people need to be picked up at
by the caregiver.
By someone.
Okay.
Would there be someone in the school that could walk them to the other school?
I will pose the question, but I don't believe so.
Okay.
Could
anything be done with the timing, the 5 minute differential?
Not now, no. No, that's pretty much set.
So pretty much
but I will
is
look,
what it is.
So I'm trying to understand what you're asking. Your preschooler is not in the district schools.
Not in the district schools, but will be with my mother.
Right,
okay. In and out of the car.
Okay.
To get my daughter, who's in fourth grade,
right,
and go into the building in the elementary school with my fourth grader and my preschooler within 5 minutes to get my second grader. So she doesn't have much time?
No, but I do know that the elementary school has a block of time available where they do hold the children who are getting picked up safely in the cafeteria, completely supervised. So
I'm not concerned about the safety at
right.
all. I'm just concerned
it's a
about
little
my
more,
child
it's a little
the last
yeah,
person picked up.
And I understand. It's a little, you know, people think it's 5 minutes, but they stay open. You
right.
know, they're not closing the doors if you're not there on time.
Right. No, I just think
you
that
know?
For parents that have children in multiple locations having difficulty finding parking spots.
Yeah, that'd
having
be hard.
Difficulty waiting
that
online.
Time.
There's not many people helping inside. Now
yeah.
they have to go in. My mom never had to do that. We didn't have busing 2 years ago. She was standing by the door where he got dismissed.
That actually came, having the parents go in is more of a safety precaution now. There were many, many, many parents who said, we don't want our children just released outside. We want to come in the building, make us show our IDs. And with everything that happened last year, you know, we put that in place. But I hear what you're saying. I'm going to look into it. We heard about the traffic again and maybe the possibility of opening up that circle. Maybe that might make it easier for your mom,
right.
you know?
Right.
Definitely we'll look into it.
And what about a dead-end block where somebody on the block has transportation but a person two houses down doesn't?
I'm going to reach out to you directly tomorrow.
Okay.
That's your specific situation. I have to see where you're located.
It's not me. It's friends.
Yeah.
But there.
Okay.
And I had that situation on my block last year
okay.
where I got busing, but the person directly diagonal.
Do me a favor. Call
it.
My office tomorrow
sure.
if you're in that situation.
Sure.
Okay. Call me in the morning. I'm here. All right?
That's you too.
And,
yeah,
yep.
I literally am going to watch the bus pick up those kids
yep.
and
okay.
drive past my
right.
house, and I got a
and
shuffle
you have to
explain
okay. why
we,
they don't get to go on
right.
bus.
We have, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
My name is Maria Fisher Simpson. I'm a parent, and I also wanted to talk about transportation. So I've been in the district since September of 2008, and at that time, the third graders were getting transportation from my location. So, you know, I started with an elementary school, but at that time, up to third grade was being transported from my location. So for all of those years, we enjoyed transportation up to third grade, and then last year enjoyed transportation for the entire grade school, which did help us out tremendously with two working parents. So I was at the last meeting where the consultant spoke, and he spoke about the moving of the measuring point and how that was going to impact some families, plus or minus, in terms of the catchment area. But that measurement point actually moved further away from my house, and yet I lost transportation for my third grader. So, which is odd. And after hearing the other gentleman speak about the provision for perhaps a high traffic zone, I do live on the other side of Deer Park Avenue, so I'm considering maybe my house was approved because it was considered, because I'm on the other side of Deer Park Avenue, I'm not sure. But I just wanted to let you know that the impact of the new software has gone beyond just plus or minus a few families due to the change of that measuring point, because it does not make logical sense that I should lose a bus when I had a bus from 2008 for that same location. So there, you know, it's, yeah, something's not right.
Can I call you tomorrow? Fisher, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
The kids are Timpson.
Right, I know.
Sorry. I have a question about the new grade school parking lot. Sorry, the longer I sit here, the more questions I get. The grade school parking lot on the east side of the building was recently redone, and it was already difficult to navigate that parking lot with the old space. And when I just drove past it, I noticed that the tennis courts have almost, it feels like half the size of the parking lot over there. Has anybody done a test drive-through or checked out how that's going to be for third and fourth grade parents? That is the entrance that is used as a third and fourth grade drop-off and pick-up. Has anybody done like an impact study on the people who use that area? It's going to be messy. And it was messy before. And I think it's going to be worse this year.
Was that kind of study done when the bond was put together?
No, we didn't do an impact study on that. I mean, there's clearly going to be an educational component with working with the families on this. The parking lot's small, there's no question about it. That was part of the decisions that were being made, how things work going forward, and the way in which that lot's going to be used and navigated and that kind of thing is going to be something we're going to have to act.
You know how it works. You pull into that parking lot, you just make a loop, and then you stop your car.
At one time we talked about maybe putting the cutting over by the grass.
Yeah, the front lawn, but I guess that never got any further.
And then
it's going to be a really big problem.
I hear what you're saying.
And for people who have a third grader and then have to get over to the elementary school, honestly, 5 minutes isn't enough, because it can take you 15 minutes just to navigate that parking lot to pick up your kid. And you have to get out of your car. You have to park, get out of your car, go to the third and fourth grade door to pick up, and get back in your car and make it over to the elementary school for a pickup over there. Just a heads up. It's been
Thank you.
Yeah, just wanted to ask a question about something that Robin said earlier. I believe you said that there was something about maybe the transportation committee or other committees that are open to the public, and some of them aren't open. Is that correct?
They're open.
They're open public meetings, but we do not.
Transportation committee at all.
No, and that's why we hired a transportation consultant, because I've worked in districts with transportation committees. And people are well-minded. They get together on a committee, and then you hire a transportation consultant to answer all the questions and fix everything. So we have really done our due diligence listening to everybody in the last couple of years and putting together, you know, ideas for the board to accept based on the feedback of parents. And we will continue to do that. But this board, you know, we've contracted with Mr. Robertson, who is a master in his field. And we pay him $25,000 a year to be a consultant. He is on call anytime we need him. He really is the expert. So when I go back to him and I can say, I have these issues, how do we fix them? He's pretty good. He really is. And I've been in this business a long time. I know how these things work. So, you know, we are always open to suggestions. You know, that's why we have public commentary. We're open to suggestions. Do know, I'm bringing those suggestions back to him to see, give your expertise on this, your eyes, how can we make these kind of things work, you know?
Sorry, thank you, Mrs. Rosin. To that effect, how do we communicate? Because I have been at Mr. Roberts' presentations, and he is, I know, very well respected in his industry. but he doesn't live here, and he's not a third grade parent, so he's not going through that parking lot or having to deal with the sidewalk issues. So how is the way that we can, as parents, can communicate our own experience so that that can be, you know, we're not
just
on a screen.
Yeah, I think just by doing this, talking with me, you know, bringing it out in this kind of forum.
So with Board of Education meetings?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, coffee with the superintendent hours, you know, we take down the notes. You know we do. You know I do.
I know you do, but there's a lot of new people here tonight who maybe don't really know what's the right protocol.
And we have really tried our best to listen to everybody in the last 2 years, and good changes have been made, you know, positive movement. It's definitely a learning curve for Babylon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're still in the infancy, and it's not yet fine-tuned. We have to get there.
Or always email, always call.
Always email, yeah.
You know.
Thank you.
Okay, one more.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Okay, how are you?
Good evening, Fumio Tama. I think she has a great solution. If there was a way of transporting the grade school students that are walkers over to the elementary school, because I know that they used to transport school students from the elementary school, I think, over to the grade school.
Mm-hmm.
So if they could get them over to the elementary school, then it would be so much easier for a parent who has to go to both schools to just go to one location. Only because her point is that I know that they stay open extra 10 minutes, but when you walk in there and you're like 10 minutes, 15 minutes late, your child is like, got these big sad eyes, like, did you forget about me? You know.
We're talking the children who are pickups.
Yes.
Not bus riders,
but kids who need to be picked up at the grade school and the elementary school. If the kids, because the buses are going from the grade school to elementary school anyway.
So you're talking the grade school walkers transported to the elementary school.
Yeah, so you can have one central pickup location. I mean, that's like a really great solution.
All right, well, I took it down.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right,
great.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Any other questions from visitors?
Absolutely.
That's what I was trying to say.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Steve Shu.
Okay.
And thank you very much for clarifying, you know, a lot of the rules behind how the transportation works. I just had one question. It was probably addressed before with the measuring point. I'm not quite sure. I guess the transportation consultant recommended that measuring point.
Correct.
But it seems to me that by using that point, you'd have some kids that could be eligible to get transportation from one school, but then if you were using, let's say, the elementary school as a measuring point, they could be eligible there, but then if you use the measuring point as the grade school, they would lose it. By using the measuring point that was in effect today, you basically have to qualify for both.
Right.
So I guess the net result would be less students being
It's actually more. When we went to the middle measuring point, that one measuring point, we actually captured more kids than ever. But it's like Mr. D'Amico always uses this analogy. It's like a picture frame moving, you know? Wherever you move it, you're always going to lose some people. And if you crop it this way, you're going to lose these people. If you crop it this way, you're going to lose these people. So he came up with last year the middle point, which captured, at the time we believed, the most families. It did actually capture 30 more additional families, that midpoint. And what it did, and somebody actually brought it up tonight, they had transportation in K-2 but lost it in grade 3, right, at the grade school, which was a problem that a lot of parents complained about. And by moving it to the one measuring point now, that fixed that. So now if you get transportation, you have it K-6.
Okay, so
that was the reason.
Result was more students.
Yeah. My letter tried to address that, but it was so challenging trying to put that in wording in a letter.
I did see that in the letter.
Yeah, I tried my best, but it's easier to explain it through, and I think Mrs. Fisher did an eloquent job at explaining that up at the podium, because a number of parents were complaining about that, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. So, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, I want to close discussion on this topic right now. I want to thank all of you for coming out tonight. If you have little ones and you do not want to sit through the next portion of this, this might be a good appropriate time to exit the room. We are going to invite Mr. Skip Gardner, who is here with us this evening. Dr. Daly, is he here?
He's here.
Oh, nice. Okay. I'd like to welcome Mr. Skip Gardner, who has graciously decided to join us here tonight. Skip, obviously, you know, is a member of our village leadership. Thank you so much for being here tonight. If anybody knows Babylon, nobody knows Babylon more than Mr. Gardner. So back in the late spring, there was a discussion among the board to have the village take a look at the grade school field because they have such a history, you know, of the fields. And that's what they did. They came in and offered their free services to give us an assessment. Dr. Daly, I'm going to turn it over to you because I know you've been also very involved in helping us with this.
Yes. All right. And I echo the superintendent's sentiments. There's not a fire hydrant, a storm drain, a telephone pole that this man to my right doesn't know where it is and the history to it. I also have to say the village and Skip in particular were instrumental in helping us to solve. Oh yes, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Mr. Gardner and the village was instrumental early on in our bond issue with helping us to resolve an issue we had in the field with a drain pipe that ran from North Call Avenue under the field all the way to the lake. And we were able to, with the village's help, remove that at a greatly reduced cost. But what it really saved us was the amount of time that they got that done. I think it was 2 days. But now back to the grade school field. Over the years, there was a number of rumors and theories about what was there, what was buried there, what was creating the problems with the inability of that field to drain. And a lot of us thought we had the answers to it, but we really weren't getting very far until we decided to bring Mr. Gardner in. Mr. Gardner with another resident, John Canetti.
Yes.
John Canetti came in and provided the equipment to do some borings at various locations in the field to try and definitively establish what was it in that subsurface that was preventing the rainwater from draining. And at that point, go ahead, Mr. Gardner, fill them in, because I didn't see I saw the borings, I didn't see what... Yeah. Oh, no. You're going to use this one.
For the board, I made copies of some photos that I have of the property that were done by Robert Moses. One in 1962, when that was all woods from the back corner of the grade school all the way up to what is Beverly and Ralph Avenue. And then there's another photo, the next one, showing in 1966 that there was still a woods between the two schools on a good portion of the property. The little school up the north end that I call Pat School was built in 1964. In doing that, they only needed a little bit of playground area around it, so eventually they got the woods removed, and they had a couple different things wrong there. It's on natural bog, like Sutter's Pond. And when you remove all the trees and all, you can't drive in there with equipment, so they put fill in. Some of the fill that's in there is small pieces of broken concrete that were sidewalks and things of that nature that is down about 2 feet to stabilize the ground when they filled it in. As they removed the trees, they kept going further back, as you might know where the school fence is. It's a good distance back. On the next photo, was a recent one, which is this probably the past summer because everything was green in it. I Googled it, and I did much better with the pictures that I had at the village hall to take a picture with my phone. And it shows a whole lot of the property developed right to the stream. There's a natural stream that comes from Beverly Road behind the school, along the property line, and then it goes out eventually to Argyle Park. If that had been developed with a drain pipe and filled in before 1973, you'd have another a little more room for a field, and it can't be taken now because of it's next to a nature preserve. In looking at the property, when the trees were removed, some other material was put in there, which was a wax byproduct from Sterling Pits. It's the same as melting a candle. It's something that's used in making women's makeup. It's also down about, we found a couple little spots of it. It's not harmful at all because it's candle wax. And the concrete is, all the stuff that I found in our test holes was less than a foot. And back then there wasn't a lot of blacktop roadstone. It was all tar and stone, so I didn't find any blacktop in the holes. There's two things that are wrong. Having bog, water doesn't get through it. The other thing is with the wax that's in there too, it's two different waterproof materials, and that's what's causing your problems on the field itself. In doing the holes, we went around, the sprinkler system is there, and we had a couple of the groundsmen there to make sure that it went well. I drove onto the property with their guide on where to go to not hurt anything. Looking at the test holes, I'm going to suggest, and I don't know what your project is because I haven't seen it, to do holes like we did on our Little League fields. We went around and drilled holes through the bog at about 8 feet apart, 1 foot around with a power drill on a machine, and we filled it up with an oversized stone so that rainwater can get through the bog. And on a piece of property this size, I would recommend going in there with an excavator with a couple of dump trucks and digging holes the width of the bucket, which could be 2 feet by 4 feet, and make some holes in the field, maybe 50 or 60 of them, around the property where the water does lay now, so you give it a source, it'd be a positive drainage system. It worked very well for me with the Little League fields, Lewis Pond Marina, which used to be a mess. Anyone that's a boater in the village, before we did the major project there, there was always standing water on the property. There isn't now. I made 13 holes over there when we did the renovation with the sprinklers and the curbs and that. And any place I've used it has worked very well. My Little League fields, you guys can play on them a day after a heavy rain. Mm-hmm. Before I did that, about 12 years ago, we'd have to stay open for 3 or 4 days because the water couldn't get through it. You could, if you did plan to do something like that with your project, you could look up on either the Town of Babel or Suffolk County bid list for a vendor that would come in, and they would give you a price what it would be for a piece of equipment, for the laborers, the stone price, and things like that, and give you an idea of what it would cost to make that field usable after a rain. If you just penetrate in those spots. And you don't have to do the whole field, just the lower areas. And looking at the field with the sprinkler system and everything else in there, this would be probably the easiest fix to do it. And as I said before, I don't know what your plans are, whether you want to change grades or anything else, but it's in pretty good shape from the last time. I was there a couple of years ago, from the last project you did there.
Skip, the plans that we've got now call for, they call for bringing up the grade of the south end of the field. Well, then, we know that the north end is pretty solid in terms of elevation. It's the south field that, you can actually see the dip. What would you think about that in terms of raising that grade? Just to kind of pitch it off so it's all, in addition to the borings, which sound like a great idea, in terms of also bringing up the height of the field.
Well, I think you could do that without having to rip out the whole sprinkler system and redo it. You could raise that area, and it might mean changing a couple of zones and building that area up. You're talking about the just north of the baseball field?
Yeah.
At the south?
That whole area. You call it the south field, the soccer.
I haven't been on the field itself since the tennis courts were dug in and the drainage were put in underneath it. So I don't know if any of that field was moved that way.
That's a good point.
And if,
go ahead.
Okay, no, so if talking about what was done at the Little League fields and elsewhere, in terms of usage of the field, is there a certain time that we would have to be off that field, or how long would that take in terms of not being able to utilize those fields if the Town of Babylon or someone came in to do what you would suggest?
Well, it wouldn't be the town. I was saying with the town, it would be
maybe
a bid vendor.
Right, okay.
So you wouldn't have to wait a couple months for a vendor.
Okay.
We can share now with the intergovernmental services. If somebody has a contract to do certain things, you don't have to bid your own and pay more.
But even if whoever we got, if someone came in and they did this, would the children have to be off the field for a certain amount of time? How long would the fields not be usable, I would say?
Well, 50 or 60 holes with the right contractor, they might be there maybe a week.
We used an outside contractor to do the drainage ditch and that drainage pipe out here at the high school, and they were off either a county or a state contract. So it really wouldn't be as much the time involved in doing it. It's just a much less involved fix. You're going to have these areas, and correct me if I'm wrong, you'll have these areas where you're going to dig these wells. When they're done, you'll have to seed the top, and it would, however long it would take for that to reseed. I think what...
Or sod it.
Another example of this working, when the little school at the north end put a playground in, they put a concrete wall with a sidewalk around it. And it was full of water from the day they finished it because it was built on bog. I was asked to come over and look at it, and I made three large holes with our backhoe and put 15 yards of oversized stone underneath that playground to make the three penetrations through the bog. That was probably on a Wednesday, and on Friday the playground was assembled because they could use it. And it's been working successfully since, and it will work for years and years to come.
Yeah, and Skip, I would love for you to take a look at the plan that the architect drew up, and then I also have a question about state permits and stuff like that. Can we, to your knowledge, and again, I'm not holding you to it, just wondering because you know this, we have approved plan, right, from the architect and the state permits. So do we need to, can we modify that? I mean, do we need to resubmit, or are we good to do a modification of kind of existing plan?
Well, when you do the looking at it, you might find you still have to do the silt fence and the other things because you're close to the preserve. And it doesn't change the project much. Like I say, I haven't looked at the plans with anybody, so I don't know what your future plans are. And I don't think you're going to have it ready for the school year.
No. I love you to take a look at
the plans. Yeah, we can arrange that where the Skip comes into the district with the architect. The landscape architect
sure.
Looks at the plans. We'll get, you know, the attorney at the table to see what we would have to do with, if there's anything at the state we would have to do to resubmit, you know. I don't know if Skip knows the answer to that because that's more legal, but I definitely, you know, respect his advice and as we try to move forward on this. You know?
Just to get an estimate on what it would be, I mean, in terms of...
From a vendor.
To give you an idea, on the high school field, when we found there was 23 things wrong with the pipe across the high school field before the turf went in, we got a hold of the DEC and we amended your permit with our engineer to say what we were going to do, replace the pipe, put a smart sponge box in, which cleans the environment before it gets to the lake, and that amendment took almost a week.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I remember.
And then by doing what we did ahead of that project, I think that would have been about $150,000 extra on the project before it even started. And in a day and a half, the installation of the 500 feet of pipe with the contractor closed up and sealed with me and Scott there the whole time that it happened. Was around $26,000.
You did a great job.
And if you started putting the field on top of something that was bad, it would have been a nightmare, and that is some beautiful field now. I wasn't too happy with turf fields, what I've seen of them, but I look at this one every day across the street from the office, and where my boys went to school, put a turf field in. They're really something.
Okay, does anybody have any other questions that they want to pose at this point in time? Mr. Benson, are you okay?
I'm good. I just want to say thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to start off that I'm not a public speaker, so
great.
I don't know how good I'll do with this.
Great.
I'm the guy in the back, and any village social will make sure it's all beautiful for our people to enjoy.
Yeah, you do a great job.
And then you don't even know what happened the next day. Everything's usually clean up there. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. Okay. Okay, so we'll do the follow-up. We'll talk about the plans, and then we'll move forward from there. Okay. So now we're moving on to agenda item 13, future board meetings. Our next
meeting will be a regular business meeting. We are having two regular business meetings in August. So that will be at 7 o'clock here in the library on August 28th, which is a Monday. Okay. And moving on to agenda item 14. Okay, may I have a motion to adjourn the meeting? Ms. Schwartz, Ms. O'Brien, all in favor? Okay, passes 7-0. Okay, thank you everybody for coming out.